So how do you top last week?
Win. Just one word. Not to be short, but that's win. You know, gotta do whatever we can do to score one more point than they score. That's our objective, and that's what we're charged with on offense.
Ryan, I mean, you guys have struggled to do all those things, and all of a sudden it came in bunches. I mean, you didn't win the game, but you have to feel better about where your offense is because those numbers all came up last week.
Yeah, well, I told the guys after the game in the meeting. I said, look, we're charged with scoring one more point than that they score. You know, if they score 40, we got to score 41. But you can see if you sit there week in and week out and profess the things that you need to do to win a football game. And the first is not beat yourself, really. I think that's one of the reasons why the good teams are really good in this league is they don't make those mistakes that some of the other teams make. And you profess it over and over, and starts with turnovers and penalties and then making plays. And hopefully that translates into points and moving the football. And that's what the guys did last week. It wasn't good enough. But you can see some signs of – you saw some signs of improvement there, which was important.
We've been talking all year about throwing the ball deep, especially after that Monday night game. What was it about Sunday that you guys were able to hit like two or three deep balls?
Well, anytime you throw those vertical routes, the first thing is protection. I thought the front guys did a good job. We had some hard sell run fakes in there. The backs did some good things. The first one, I think it was the fifth play of the game. Vickers and Rob, they do a nice job double team in the end, which, when you have a tight end on a defensive end, sometimes that's a mismatch, and you got a fullback over there to help them. And it was a play we practiced on Friday. It was actually a different concept when we practiced it. It was on a bus driving to Detroit and saw the first game of the year. I was watching the tape as we were driving, and they ran the same type play that we had in. I saw the safety cut it, so I grabbed Mo in the back of the bus. I said, hey, come on up here. I said, look, see what they're doing here? Let's change it to this. And it's something that we didn't really even practice except the night before the game. And, it starts with protection. The receivers did a nice job, and Brady made a nice throw.
And the night before the game, so you...
On that fifth play, we practiced the play. We practiced the protection and the fake and the crossing route by Mike and telling Mike to get up on that safety. The guy's probably going to jump it. But something we just forgot what play it was, of play eight, or I can't remember what it was, of New Orleans game. They ran a very similar play, and safety bit in the corner, fell back, and they kind of covered it up. We looked at it and said maybe we can hit him on a post instead of the other route that was actually we put in. Just watching some tape and kind of
practice up there. Did you?
No. We just do a kind of a little walkthrough type deal where we just go through the plays, talk about them, and but that's where it starts with is the protection on those plays.
Brady play. I mean, the numbers look very impressive. I mean, did he play as well as those numbers?
Yeah, he played. He had a pretty good game. He played. He did a nice job with his reads. He ran the no-huddle operation well. There's a lot of things that go into running that. A lot of different code words and dummy signals and setting the protections and shifting the guys around and moving them, making the mic points. And I thought he operated that well. I wish we had a couple throws there. It was tight. It was close. We had a chance to maybe make them. It could have been a little bit better. Receiver could have went up and got it. But he probably had his best game.
On that game, do you guys as a team, as an organization, feel that that there's more hope that Brady Quinn is your quarterback of the future?
Well, I always have hope for Brady. I think he's a smart guy who's got all the intangibles that you look for. And you got to remember, he's a young guy. He started eight games. And if you go back, and I'm not going to compare him in history, but there's a lot of numbers you can look at. How was Peyton going to be after eight games? He had 11 touchdowns, 16 picks, 1-7. Troy Aikman was 0-8. So I don't know where Brady's going to be, from now on, but I'm happy with the game that he had. And I'm encouraged by the kid in terms of his work ethic and his understandings. And I think the more he plays, the better chance he'll have to be successful.
So you looked at those numbers on Peyton after eight games?
Yeah, I made a A while back, I made a chart for Kellen Clemens, and he was a young guy starting out at New York, and had a bunch of different stats from a bunch of different players as they started their first 12 games, their first 8 games, their first 16 games, and just said, look, you don't know where you're going to be, buddy. You know, it might not seem great right now, but you got to keep fighting, and you got to play football, and you got to learn the different things that the defenses are going to do, and you got to go out there and play, and you might suffer through a couple things, but you just keep, you know. But just to show him a positive outlook on things and some of the things he did well versus some of the things he did poorly. But, you know, you can go back in the books. I don't know if those are the exact numbers, but I'm pretty sure I'm close on them, whether it be Troy or, you know, Elway or Favre. I mean, I think Brett got sacked 25 times his first 8 games, if I'm not mistaken.
So,
you know, I've talked to him here and there. Not just specifically the numbers or anything like that right now, but this was kind of a year, Marla, year of the end of the year type deal for Kellen, where, you know, and I made 35 tapes of things that he could do better and try to help him and just kind of show him some positive things. Hey, I know it seems bad, but keep on grinding. There's been a lot of guys that have went through this at this position.
Based on those numbers and those statistics and those kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
Should you guys not have benched Brady Quinn after 2.5?
No, I think what we did was we thought was best for the team at that point, Mary Kay, is to go in that direction. And then, you know, when went through this decision, I thought it was the best thing to do here. And, you know, the kid is, and both guys, too, really they have a good disposition, both of them. Working relationship, they're good. So, you know, I'm pleased with the game that Brady had last week, but and we all wish we could have got a win.
You think Brady runs the no huddle better than Derek would?
No, we've done that in training camp, the no huddle.
But I'm talking
about DA hasn't run it per se in a game like Brady has, you know, when he was out there. A little bit more stationary, huddling up. And then what we did, Jeff, is in, you know, you look at your numbers and where you're at during that bye week. And, you know, I'll say it loud, bad numbers, you know, as we said. So we went back a little bit and started moving a little bit more and started to go into that no-huddle operation. And they, you know, DA had some reps at it during the bye week too, but you've seen Brady doing it right now, so.
Cincinnati defense, mm-hmm. You know, I think they're second against the rush. How do they compare with Pittsburgh and Baltimore, you know, two other big defenses in your division?
Well, they're different. They have different guys up there. They're a one-gap penetrating style of defense. They have fast-flow linebackers. Topeko, he's playing pretty well. Rivers is a good linebacker. But they're a fast-flow. They get to the ball, and they did it to us. You know, we ran it fairly well against them the first game. But they do a great job of getting in those gaps. They slant. They move, so they cause problems for you. Some of the other teams, those bigger, stouter guys, more two-gap guys, but just, you know, a little bit different, fast, aggressive. They get a lot of negative plays, too, in the running game.
Can you show me something about their toughness, the way they went into Pittsburgh and battled in that field goal game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a good – you put them on tape, they fly around, and they create a lot of turnovers, and Marvin's done a good job since he's been there creating turnovers, and that's how they got us, you know, up here. You know, they strip it out of JC's hand there on the left. We got a stretch play. They string it out and run over. Then they strip it out, run back for a touchdown. And then we threw that pick in the red zone. So very opportunistic defense.
And at 3rd and 5, right before you guys had a punt, after the 2-minute warning,
mm-hmm.
Did Muhammad not break off the route the right way?
Well, we had an empty play called, and empty was good for us. That game had a kind of new couple things that they were going to do. Actually, we hit the touchdown to Stuck on empty, same type of protection, and had a good feel that they were going to go ahead and bring the blitz, and did a nice job of picking it up. So and then we hit the other one to play before that, the first 3rd down, and that drive to Stuck on that out route, one where he's trying to fall down and get down. Came back with it. Ran a little hitch play and maybe a tad bit too deep, and we just let it go. They had a guy free, so just tough deal.
Is that a rookie thing? It seems like there's been some hot routes where maybe Muhammad's either not on the same page with the quarterback,
Mo wasn't hot. Mo wasn't hot on that play. No. Nope. Just running a little quick hitch, and just timing was off this much is what it was. But he wasn't responsible to run a hot or break off for Brady. Just this much. Talked about it last week. You missed this much in this league, and that's what happens.
Talked earlier today about talking about Carson Palmer and how important it is for a team, if they can find one, to have a franchise quarterback. Not saying that Brady right now is a franchise quarterback, but as you guys go forward in this season and these last six games and try to find out what you have going into 2010, how important is it for him to really take charge of this opportunity and really finish up strongly going into 2010 to kind of prove to you guys, hey, I'm the guy?
Yeah, I think it's critical. I mean, we all want to finish up strong. You know, Brady, myself, players on the offense, we want to finish up strong. And I think it does start with the quarterback. You know, quarterback is a premier position in athletics, and I think Brady, he wants to do that. And I think the more he plays, like I said, the more he plays, the more he's going to get a feel for the pro game. So, you know, I have high hopes for him, but he's going to have to go out there and operate and function and throw accurate balls and, you know, be jumping for joy if that happens.
Next three games, you've got a first place team in Cincinnati. You got San Diego that's red hot, and you've got Pittsburgh, defending Super Bowl champions, hanging in there in the playoff race. So these next three games should, if I'm understanding that right, give you a pretty good picture of where he's at.
Well, yeah, and I can't think as far down the line as you can with those three guys, but I'm just concentrating and focusing on this week and trying to get him to improve from last week's performance. He wants to do the same thing. So, you know, we'll deal with this week first. And you know, we got a really good defense, leader in the division, two outstanding corners that he's going to have to throw the ball against, and our receivers are going to have to get open against. And then we'll take it on to the next one.